Theoretical physicist Michio Kaku keeps some pretty wild ideas in his head. As a scholar of quantum physics, he believes an electron can be in two places at the same time. As the co-creator of string field theory, he believes the secrets of the universe are explained through an 11-dimensional world of vibrating strings. But Michio Kaku says that's easy to understand. Try wrapping your head around religion.
Well, I grew up with two mutually exclusive ideas in my brain. My parents are Buddhists, and in Buddhism, there is no beginning. There is no end. There's only timeless nirvana. And the golden life is to reach this high state of consciousness called nirvana. But as a child, I was sent to Sunday school, and I learned about all the great stories of the Bible. I learned about the ark, the whale, the burning bush, and I also learned about Genesis. And so I had these two mutually exclusive ideas in my head, which until very recently could not be resolved. Now, for the first time, I think, in millennia, we can resolve these two contradictory paradigms.
I don't understand quite how this is possible, because as far as I know, there is no place for Genesis in nirvana.
That's right. So how do you reconcile a beginning of a universe with a religion, Buddhism, where there is no beginning? The way to reconcile it is with modern physics. The latest theory is called the multiverse, in which case our universe is a soap bubble of some sort, expanding soap bubble, in an ocean of other soap bubbles. And these soap bubbles pop into existence, expand rapidly, some of them contract, our universe is continuing to expand. And so Genesis takes place all the time in an ocean of nirvana. And to me, this melds the two paradigms together.
Well, but what does this... I'm sorry, I keep thinking about what this means in terms of human understanding, and I think that may be the point at which religion really comes into it, because we have all been looking for a purpose, for a source, for an explanation, whatever those may be. If you accept one of the traditional religions, Christianity, for instance, the possibility of multiple universes in which Jesus Christ exists multiple times seems to be in conflict.
Well, in 1600, Giordano Bruno was burned alive in the streets of Rome because he said that there are other planets out there with other stars and life on them. And the church did not like that idea at all. Because can you imagine a billion popes in outer space? Can you imagine a trillion saints? Can you imagine a quadrillion doctrines and papal encyclicals and dogmas? Rather than entertain a billion Jesus Christ, they simply burn Giordano Bruno alive. Well, today, he has his revenge every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, a new planet is discovered orbiting another star system just the way Giordano Bruno had predicted in 1600. Now, we don't see evidence of life, but we do see evidence of extrasolar multiple Earths out there. Now we're talking about multiple universes. To be fair, most of them are dead. Most of them have no life on them. But some of these soap bubbles have atoms, and they have DNA, and perhaps they have life.
How new is this? You look at the great minds, the great names, at least, of history in physics. Einstein would seem to be the poster boy for physics and therefore for competition between physics and religion. But in fact, he believed that in the end, he was searching for physics. And what did he say? He was actually searching for the mind of God?
That's right. He wanted an equation 1 inch long, which would allow him to read the mind of God. Einstein once said that science without religion is lame, but religion without science is blind. And so he believed in two gods, not one god, but two kinds of gods. The first god is the god of prayer, the god of intervention, the god that parts the waters, the god that helps the sick and smites the Philistines. That's the god that he felt uncomfortable with, the personal god, the god of intervention. He believed in the god of Spinoza, the god of Leibniz, the god of reason, the god of order, the god of harmony. And he believed that the laws of the universe were so simple, so elegant, and it didn't have to be that way, that there must have been a designer to design the laws, not to design people, we're not talking creationism, but to design the physical laws. God is the lawgiver. the ultimate laws are the laws of physics. So who gives you the laws of physics? Einstein called him the old one. It's been since translated as the old man, but that's sexist. In the original German, it's the old one. And I think there's a lot of resonance to that. I think a lot of physicists feel comfortable with that point of view, that there is a lawgiver. There are the fundamental laws, which are simple, beautiful, and it didn't have to be that way. The universe could have been chaotic. The universe could have been random. The universe could have been a bunch of electrons, mist, a bunch of neutrinos that never go anywhere. Instead, we have DNA. We have life. We have stars, galaxies. And so he believed that there was a God, but not the God of intervention. The God of harmony is the God that Einstein believed in.
How important is this to you as a physicist, to any physicist, in fact? Does it matter whether you believe in God? Because the laws will remain the same, presumably, whether you do or not. And your pursuit of answers can remain as vigorous whether you believe ultimately in a God.
Well, it does and it doesn't. In my research, for example, when I get up in the morning, I try to follow in the footsteps of my hero, Einstein. When Einstein woke up in the morning, he would say, "Today, I am God. I'm going to create a universe today. How would I create the universe that I see around us? What is the minimal set of laws necessary to create a star? The suns, the galaxies. E equals mc squared, for example, is 1 inch long. But that's a secret of the sun. That's why the stars shine. M turns into E. And that's why we have E equals mc squared. And that's why we have the Earth. The Earth is a spin-off from the sun, and the sun gets its energy from E equals mc squared. So I try to do this. It's difficult, but I say to myself in the morning, okay, today I'm God. How would I create, through Genesis, a world with stable matter, with all the elements and the forces we see around us? And that's what I do. I'm trying to finish that theory. I want that one-inch equation that would allow us to read God's thoughts. That's what Einstein's dream was.
What happens when you have a discussion like this with the community that wants very badly to believe in the straight story that they've been told all their lives?
Well, if you take a look at the religious books of the world, I think most historians will call them allegorical. Many of the chapters of the learned books are self-contradictory, in fact. If you think that a holy book is, in fact, literal, you have the problem that even inside that book, you have contradictions. And so I think most historians would call them allegorical. And it's a question of ethics, too. When Galileo was put up by the Catholic Church and almost burned at the stake, one bishop said, "The purpose of the church is not to determine how the heavens go, but to determine how to go to heaven." In other words, ethics.
But it's very reasonable when you say this, and you seem able to merge these two ideas clearly, perhaps because you started with your parents' notion of nirvana while learning about Genesis. Surely when you face critics of science and evolution in the schools, for instance, you don't get quite such reasonable responses?
Well, I tried not to insult people, because instead of an arrogant scientist looking down on people, patronizing them and saying you're stupid because you don't believe in Darwinian evolution, we have to realize where people are coming from, you know? I mean, people are raised in a certain tradition that goes back many, many generations, and I think we should treasure that. I think we should respect people's upbringings, but we should also realize that there are many holy books. They all contradict each other. There are no two holy books that agree with each other. Science, however, does have a holy book, and that is Mother Nature. And so we get our clues from Mother Nature. So if you are religious and a scientist, how you would resolve it is very simple. Mother Nature is God's greatest creation. The greatest creation of God is Mother Nature herself. And if you want to honor God, then the way to honor God is to try to understand the secrets of his greatest creation, Mother Nature.
Michio Kaku is the author of Parallel Worlds, The Science of Alternative Universes and Our Future in the Cosmos.